Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Tommy Weber, a former pro baseball player who's coached at the Division I level for 22 years. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn. Tommy has some strong opinions about the value of unstructured play in sports.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Lisa.
Well, Tommy, can you begin by telling me what unstructured play looks like?
Sure. Unstructured play is the kind of play that you see in a schoolyard. Anytime you go to pick up your kids, you see kids playing joyfully, innovating, improvising. There's a hierarchy that's developed. They're really enjoying themselves. And I believe that nowadays kids have a little bit too much structured practice and structured play. Everything is basically two-hour time limits. They're constantly being instructed every step of the way. And I believe that if they got a little less structure, they'd be able to do some of that great improvising, and it would inspire them to develop a real passion for the games that they play.
And how would this affect their mental game, their confidence, for example?
Well, I believe confidence is positive experiences. You have to practice success in order to develop confidence. Confidence is not something you can get if you've never had positive experiences. And if someone is always telling you that you're doing something wrong, it's very, very difficult to develop a lot of confidence. You develop confidence by knowing that today perhaps I wasn't as good as that other kid, but tomorrow I might be. And if I work hard enough and I see the benefits of my labor, I can develop confidence in that manner.
Now, what about how you deal with peers and social issues? Because in unstructured play, we'd see things work really differently. In terms of how the kids interact with each other, I suspect.
Well, my experience has been this, that kids left to their own devices figure it out. They really do. In a schoolyard, if you watch, some kids' feelings do get hurt. Some kids, there is a natural pecking order that develops in any group. It's just a natural thing. But I do believe that if we allow our kids to sort of endure that, to let them fall sometimes, that in the end they're going to be a lot better off for it because their development will be more what I like to call organic, more something from within as opposed to something that's imposed upon them.
And when we spoke yesterday, you mentioned that we have too much of a, I think you called it trophy mentality right now, where everybody gets a trophy, and the kids would really benefit from failing a little bit.
Yeah, I think kids do benefit from failing. You know, you learn from your mistakes. You don't learn by constantly reinforcing that everything you do is good. Sometimes the things that we do, in sports especially, are wrong, they're bad, and if we're never aware of that, it's very difficult to ever improve. We're giving ourselves a false sense of achievement when every step of the way we're constantly being told that we're as good as someone else who is obviously performing a skill at a higher level than we are.
Right, and the kids know that.
Kids know it. Kids are not at any age of their development. I think one of the mistakes we make, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, is we underestimate kids' intellect and their knack for picking things up. They are really, really sharp, and they really do get it. And when we give them a conflicting message, I think it's a very, very bad road to go down.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things we talk about is the concept of flow. That means being totally immersed in the activity and really enjoying it and being very focused. Is there any relationship between unstructured play and possibly getting into that flow?
Well, there could be, and there could be insofar as you'll find yourself, I believe, more likely to get into that place. Some people, I guess, would call that zone or slow or that kind of peaceful state that we get into when we're really in love with what we're doing, when we really really grab the passion for what we're doing and feel like there's nothing else in the world other than that the skill that we're performing or the game that we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that the less structured practice and play is, the more all play and practice becomes just play.
Mm-hmm. And that gives more opportunity for kids to get into the flow. I mean, obviously, this idea of flow is something that's internal. It's not something that someone can impose on you externally.
No, but our effort to impose that, I think, reduces the chance of us ever achieving that state. I think it's really critical, if I may, I think it's important that coaches and parents understand first how we learn, and I think then it will make it a lot easier to understand how to teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one learns well by having someone stand over them all day long, instructing them every step of the way. It's
mm-hmm.
just not something that's productive. You know, we learn better when we're sort of left, we're given a little bit of advice, and we're left to go on and figure it out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And that's just not sports. That's everything in life.
That's everything. It is.
Right. Much more likely to develop a passion or to feel creative under those circumstances.
Yeah, I think a great analogy, and I use it all the time in instructing my players, because I do believe in the transfer of learning. I think that's really, really important. You know, whether you're teaching golf, baseball, the piano, the violin, or whatever it is, stamp collecting, for God's sakes, it's all basically the same thing. You've got to teach success. And you've got to let your student go and let him improvise and sort of find his way. I don't believe someone stood over John Coltrane while he was practicing on his horn all day long. He went off on his own and practiced for 12 hours because somehow he was inspired to do that and became one of the great musicians the world's ever known.
So now, how could we incorporate this idea of unstructured play into the environment that we have today?
It's easy and it's difficult at the same time. It's easy to actually do. It's difficult, I believe, to get the league officials and parents to go along with it. I think in the baseball situation, which is my game that I teach the most, I think you need parentless, guardianless practices and contests. That's the only way to have unstructured practice, because even if parents are silent or they're 150 feet away from the playing field, they're still present. And their kids feel that presence. It's important for kids to understand that they are free to do whatever it is that they want to do within the confines of the rules of the game that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do that, I really believe kids will develop, there'll be more gym rats than there ever was. We don't have a lot of gym rats anymore because kids' attention spans have now been conditioned to be very structured in two-hour time slots.
Right. Now, how would it look? Because parents aren't gonna buy into just having someone throw a bunch of kids onto a field and walking away from them.
You'd have a couple of adults as coach guardians. They would give out the bats and the balls. They could act as umpires if you wanted to, just to protect, maintain the safety, make sure that nobody's at risk, of course, and let kids choose up sides. You know, let one kid bat ninth today, who maybe will bat eighth tomorrow, and let them meet out their own differences and develop that little hierarchy that develops in any group, and let them find their way. They will. And you'd be surprised at how structured that game will become.
Right. They'll create their own structure.
Correct.
Now
they'll create a structure within which they can flourish.
You've been coaching Division I players for 22 years, correct?
That's right.
Have you seen them change over the years? Have you seen the effect of the imposition of structure on these kids?
There's no question about it. Kids are great. I mean, kids are as great today as they were when I played. One of the mistakes I try never to make is to utter those three words, when I played, because it's relatively irrelevant. And kids get turned off when you start going back to glory days. The main difference I see in kids today is they are, we've kind of developed a culture of kid who is less self-reliant. He's waiting to be instructed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've arrived at a ballpark with 25 elite college players who have all played at great programs, who have had a tremendous amount of success, who are all very, very good athletes, and they're waiting for me to tell them, okay, guys, let's go down a left field line now and stretch.
Really?
Yeah. And we talk about this on road trips, coaches, all the time. You know, they just, they're not self-starters because they've never had to start anything.
No, what were they like 22 years ago?
Well, 22 years ago, I think that was the tail end of a generation of parents who cared a little less about how their kids felt and weren't as attached to their children physically as parents are today, and there's a good side to that and a bad side. Kids were left more to their own devices. They also did not have the distractions that a kid today has. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cable television. We didn't even have remote controls 22 years ago. So you had to make your own fun.
Right. I agree that the kids aren't very good at doing that right now.
And they're not. I mean, they're fabulous at other things, and they're wonderful to be around, and it's the greatest thing that I do in my life, and I love every minute of it. But objectively, I do see a difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see any mental game issues, other mental game issues that arise from this environment, this new environment?
Well, when you're not a self-starter, I think it's difficult for kids to improvise and kind of, I think, also, with the amount of structure and the amount of pressure that's self-imposed, because this becomes like a family venture now, sports, I think kids have a lot more pressure on them to succeed and a lot more frustrated quicker than they ever did. So I think mentally, the games are much more difficult and there's a lot more at stake for kids today than, say, 20, 25 years ago.
So they feel pressure from their parents because their parents are putting all this time and money.
No question.
Into attending to them.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know if that's because of, I'm sure, you know, many parents have some unresolved issues about perhaps their own athletic career and, you know, maybe they're frustrated and they're going to make sure that their kid makes it where they didn't. And it becomes very complicated mentally and emotionally where it just wasn't that difficult 20 years ago.
Now, we talk about fear of failure, how pressure leads to fear of failure. Do you see more of that, kids being afraid of failing because there's so much pressure on them?
Yes. I call it we call it in baseball, we call it the audition mentality.
Oh, interesting.
With the advent of travel teams, everybody is an elite player. Kids' perception of themselves and the reality of who they are sometimes – there's a chasm that exists between the two, literally. And I think players are less likely to sort of freewheel it because they are afraid of looking bad. And when you're afraid of looking bad, you're never really going to your upside is always going to be limited when you're afraid
right.
to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be good, but you're never going to be great unless you sort of, you know, to use a term which is kind of, unless you're all in. I like to call it, unless you make that leap of faith, which takes failure into account, you might fail. You're
right.
never really going to achieve your upside.
Right. Now, every once in a while, you must run into a kid who's raised in the way that you like, in the way you're describing, the kids who tend to be leaders and take risks and aren't so afraid of failing.
I certainly do.
Yeah, that's fair to say. And you think it's a parenting issue.
I don't think it's all – I mean, it's cultural. It's, you know, parenting is part of – you know, we parent differently than we did 25 years ago. Kids today are parented differently than I was or than my father was. I mean, that's just a cultural difference as well. It's not all attributable to parents. Parents do a fantastic job. They don't – look, parents today, I'm sure, dedicate way more time and money than our parents did to our athletic careers. It's just – the way
Absolutely.
It is.
And that's an advantage in some ways.
Absolutely. I wish my parents had the financial wherewithal that a lot of our kids today have, you know,
right.
that I had the options that these kids today have.
Right. But what the kids are missing is that free play.
Right. There is a trade-off.
That they experienced as kids.
There is a trade-off, no question.
Well, Tommy, you've been tremendously helpful, and I thank you for joining us.
And I thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.